It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay. We got to talk about this. I didn't want to talk about this. Nobody's going to want me to talk about this. I didn't know. This was a very involved week. You know that. Mm-hmm. Lots of things to talk about, but we got to talk about this. Last night, my wife made me watch a YouTube video. It's a thing we do in the evening sometimes. If we found YouTube videos in the day that we liked, we show them to each other, that kind of thing. And she showed me a trailer for an upcoming Netflix, I think movie. I don't think series. I think a movie. Uh-huh. Called Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Once and Always.
Yeah, I've heard of that, yeah.
It is a sequel, I guess, to the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers franchise, of which I was the right age that I was a huge fan. I did eventually leave Power Rangers. I think it might still be going on. I don't know. But for many years, and in the original continuity, which like the first like six series of the show in the American one are all one story arc.
Mm.
So, I mean, it's all sort of connected universe, but the first one, you switch out people, but it all sort of connects. And I watched through all of that. And I yelled at my wife a lot after I watched this. Because this was, you know, you see stuff like this and you're like, who is this for?
Yeah.
This is for me.
Oh.
And I'm going to watch it.
Okay.
Even though it looks like it probably will be terrible, but I'm still like really angry that it exists.
Why is that?
Because the premise, as near as I can tell, is the original Power Rangers villain Rita Repulsa comes mm-hmm. back, and she's got a new body, which means it's just her costume, but then there's like a robot thing because apparently she died or whatever. But the real reason, of course, she has it is because the woman who originally played her is actually dead.
Mm.
There was a second woman who played her for a while, and I looked her up on IMDb, and she's never done anything else but play Rita Repulsa in various versions. But for some reason, they didn't get her for this. But so now she's a robot because she's dead. And so we have to get the band back together. You know? But getting the band back together means the original Black Ranger, the original Blue Ranger, which I find interesting because that actor rather famously was essentially pushed off the show for being gay. I'm a little surprised he's come back. The second, but not the first Red Ranger, the second, but not the first Pink Ranger, and the fictional daughter of the first Yellow Ranger because the bad guys killed her because, again, in real life, the actual actor died.
Mm.
It already feels weirdly in poor taste, but also nobody, based on, I don't like being, I don't, you know, they all could kick the shit out of me because they're all pretty trained as martial artists or at least gymnasts and things. None of them look movie ready. They are all noticeably twice the age they were and twice the width they were and really don't look like they could kick anything. And it just makes me feel very weird. And also, I've been looking into it. And of course, the people they got back are the actors who largely haven't been doing anything since Power Rangers. We can't get the others because they actually, like the original Pink Ranger, the original Red Ranger, they're actually doing it. Actually, the original Red Ranger seems to have fallen off the map, but whatever. And it's just, but like otherwise, like the little henchmen, the Putty Patrollers, looks like the exact same costumes. Like, this is straight up the same. I think we got the same guy to voice the little robot. I don't understand why this exists, and I am simultaneously so excited and so repulsed by it at the same time. It's someone's trying to capture that nostalgia, but seems to have done it in a real slapdash way. And I'm looking at these people and I'm like, I don't know how much money they brought you, but this is rough. You were like 18 when this happened, and now you are officially middle. I mean, they're essentially me. I wasn't exactly in Power Rangers shape when it came out in high school, but I was roughly their age, and now I'm still roughly their age, and I have no business power ranging. And they don't really look like they do either. And I don't know. It's a weird excitement, but also a little sadness, because I'm like, what are we doing? What? No. I'm going to watch it.
Okay.
But I kept telling Trish last night, I was just like, thank you so much for showing me that, and fuck you. And I really appreciate it, because I'm definitely going to watch it. And God damn it, why'd you have to bring that into my life? And it was very confusing time. But I encourage anybody who ever watched Power Rangers, go check out the trailer. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Once and Always. And yeah, maybe a bunch of us get together, get a little high, have a watch party. I don't know, because I don't know how else we're going to make it through. Even if it's a series, I'll watch it. I have to watch it. I got to watch it. I'm going to watch it. I'm not happy about it.
So the person who played the Yellow Ranger passed away?
Yeah, died. I don't remember how. I don't think it was like scandalous, but I think it was like a car accident.
Oh,
like
that's
a
terrible.
Long time ago.
Oh, that's really sad.
She didn't get... Like, she was replaced and left the show before she died. But she died not long after. And yeah, so now we're doing the, oh, yeah, Rita killed my mom. So now we're going to, her younger daughter is going to, and I'm just like, I mean, I get it. I always kind of appreciate. Well, I don't know. When I was younger, I appreciated the idea of if an actor dies, kill the character, and like, you can process not. And that still can be useful. Chadwick Boseman with Wakanda Forever. That's good. The one that always hit me was an old sitcom with Brooke Shields called Suddenly Susan. And one of their actors died, and they had an episode that was basically all of their reactions to him having suddenly, like, they had the character also die unexpectedly.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. I know Eight Simple Rules when John Ritter died, but it also feels weirdly ghoulish at times. I don't know. I it feels weirder to me when we bring in a fake child.
I mean, if they're bringing in some of the second Rangers, why didn't they just bring in the second Yellow Ranger? I mean, that's
incredibly good question. I mean, maybe she's too busy too. I don't know. Maybe she's got a real acting job. Or maybe this is a backdoor reboot. And these old people cannot make it for more than one movie. So we need to root it in a younger person. Power Rangers has actually done this before.
Then just one younger person? Then why not more?
Because if it was all younger people, we wouldn't watch.
Okay, but they could be involved somehow. Like, they could... You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's poorly done. I mean, yeah. I think that's the real answer. I don't think they've done a good job. But we'll see. It was a lot of quick cuts, and there were shots that involved Rangers of not the colors I mentioned. So maybe stuff's sneaking in. I don't know. But it has to be a surprise, because these are the least remembered actors in the various roles.
Really? So
to me, they are. To me, they are. I'm like, I would recognize immediately if it was like the Green Ranger or the original Red, like all these things, but this is yeah. There I can recognize them, but mostly it's because things like I know Billy because I know of all the scandal. And actually, I take it back. He made peace with the Power Rangers franchise because years later he came back as the same character as like a mentor, but it's still kind of weird. And yeah, I don't know why they're doing this at all, or what's gonna come of it. But it's in my life now, and so it has to be in the rest of y'all's. Sorry for that. Blame my wife. Hello, everyone. Welcome. Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world that knows what you did that one summer when you were younger. Not yet you. You listening right now. You. We know what you did. We're not going to tell anybody. But we just want you to know that we know. Just keep that in mind. I'm Tony.
And I'm William. This is episode 627.
For those of you just joining us who are listening for the first time and don't have any deep, dark secrets from that one summer when you were younger, we have a hat. It's magic in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And wonderful people, arguably the best people in the world, write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with whatever the crap they want. And the hat magically forwards the emails to us. We read them. We talk about them. That's it. So welcome. So, how has your week been, Mr. Man?
Well, it's the first week since the last quarter ended, so it's been pretty nice. Did quite a few things over the weekend with the kids. Went up to Marion. They've got the Marion Library.
Went to a cattle roundup from the look of things.
The Marion Library is kind of new, I think. And it's got like a play area for kids and all this other stuff.
Nice.
So we went up there. Then we went to eat and where the restaurant is, there's a Western store in that area. And so that's where that picture was taken. We went in there.
Please tell me you bought him that hat. He looked really good in that hat.
No, he didn't. Should have. Mm. He tried a pink one on too that he really liked. Same, you know, cowboy hat or whatever. But anyway, and we ended up back here. So that was fun. We did that on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we did the murder mystery box thing that you got me. And I know you and I talked a little bit about this already, but this company's called Hunt a Killer, right?
Yes, Hunt a Killer.
A Killer.
With hyphens for some reason. But
this company, you can subscribe to get things like in the mail. So like subscription boxes that have murder mystery scenarios, and what they are, which I think you've already explained or we've already talked about. And when you open them up, that's like evidence for, so you might have some phone records or some credit card records, or you'll have some other pieces of evidence, the kind of thing that
bloody ice pick,
the kind of stuff that you see in police procedurals or that you might see in an actual investigation. Although, you know, like if it's phone records, for example, it's not pages and pages and pages that you have to sift through to find just the ones that work and highlight them, everything. You know, it's pretty much one page and you can pretty much tell which phone numbers you're supposed to pick up on.
This is like the last Starfighter thing. If you do the highest difficulty ones, then the FBI shows up and they're like, we want you to join.
And that's another thing. There are various difficulties from 1 to 5. This one's 3, but anyway, you can subscribe and they'll send you these boxes with there's probably going to be a letter that you read from a person who's asking you as a private investigator to investigate this murder. And this is all the evidence that they could bring together. And then you go through the evidence and you figure it out. And the subscription service, the boxes you're going to get are going to be episodes in a larger story. So there might be 6 boxes for the story you're doing. And you can also get you can order from the website. You don't have to subscribe. You can get a lot of these things individually. So you can get a box that has six episodes in it, or you can get a box that's just a one shot, like what you got. That's what this is. It's just a one shot thing. It takes, it's supposed to take between 4 and 6 hours. So those, you've got all those options with this company. You can subscribe, you can buy one that's got all the episodes together, or you can get these one shots. And so,
and there are different tiers of one shots in terms of their complexity and things too,
and difficulty. That's correct.
Yeah.
So this was a 3 out of 5 in difficulty. So Sunday we sat down, my wife and Abby and I sat down, and we opened it up and we just started doing it. And like I said, there's a letter that you read, and the conceit really is that someone has, you know, someone's been killed, or there's also supernatural, like ghost investigations and stuff. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, actually.
No. Yeah, some of them aren't murder mysteries. They're like supernatural mysteries. But anyway, this is a murder mystery, and they're saying, well, someone got murdered, and the cops are saying it was an accident, or it was suicide, or whatever, but I don't believe it. So I've sent you all the stuff that I could gather, and I want you to go through this and see if you can figure it out. This is what the letter says. I presume they all start that way. And so then you just go through the material. And
was it an accident or a suicide?
No, I don't. It probably
was a murder.
Yeah, it was a murder.
That would be hilarious if one of them was like, no, it actually, the police got it right first
time. And you had a question about that. Yes, there's an answer, and there's an answer envelope that you open, and it'll tell you if you got it right. So for us, I'd say the 4 to 6 hour thing was about right. We basically just went through the material, and as you go through the material, the case sort of builds itself. It does lend itself to like writing things down, like writing down a timeline and profiles of people. And that's fun. The company also sells various other things, that like accessories basically to these things, including a murder board kit where there are these cork board panels. And if I put all of them up here, they'd probably cover most of this wall, and there's yarn and everything. You could totally do that with this, and it would be completely fun to do. We just wrote some things down on paper here and there, or just remembered, because most of the details were pretty easy to remember. So you'll read something and you'll say, well, this, you know, you'll guess while you're reading it which parts are important, and then you'll read the next thing, and maybe some things in that would cross-reference to this, and you just make all these connections or whatever. And the case sort of builds itself after a while, and then pretty soon it's more of a reading comprehension test than it is a murder mystery kind of thing. Because if you just read everything and you understand it adequately, and it probably helps if you have someone with you kind of to bounce things off of, it's pretty straightforward. On the games that are 3 and over, like 3, 4, and 5, rated 3, 4, and 5, there's going to be a cipher, which doesn't necessarily seamlessly fit into the narrative. You know what I mean? It's,
yeah.
You know, how often during crimes do people find ciphers and whatever, but
most
it is fun.
Of the time I don't, most of my crimes,
but it is fun. The cipher was fun to figure out. And a lot of the other things were fun to do.
Glad you're getting there. Cause so far you're really not, it's not going to be a pull quote for Hunt a Killer. Like,
I just want to tell people
it's more of a reading comprehension test than a murder mystery, William Wright.
Well, it is, but I mean, I'm
just saying, based on your description so far, it does not sound like a fun time. How was it for you?
No, it was a fantastic time. It was really fun.
Good.
I mean, to me,
you told me that already, but
to me, that is fun. You know, going through this stuff and figuring it out, that is great fun. Now, but I you know, there might be some people who would like
get you reading comprehension tests. I know. I mean, I got connections at ACT.
Was a lot funner. This was a lot more fun, a more fun way to do reading. Actually, that's interesting. This could be a reading comprehension test, and it would be so much more fun than ordinary reading comprehension.
It's like a reading comprehension test, except we killed someone.
Well, I just want,
this is what Common Core is going to turn into.
I just want people to know what to expect. I mean, there are things in it that do seem like real clues, you know, and that's fun. But at least for the level three thing, I can say that. So another thing is you sort of pick the order in which you look at these clues, and that's going to kind of determine how the whole thing unfolds for you. And when we were done, I realized, well, if we would have looked at these three clues first, we could have narrowed down the suspect list a lot faster. But I think
I just wish you had told me exactly when you're doing it, so I could have called you and like warned you off the case. Like, listen, poke your nose in. You're not gonna like how it ends up. And they'll be like, "Who is this?" And they'll just hang up.
But then I thought about it and I realized pretty much any three clues that you could have picked first would probably, if you were paying attention, would probably get you to the most likely suspect right away. But you still wouldn't know. You'd still like, well, that's the most likely person. And you'd still need all of the other clues to prove it, you know?
Yeah.
Because the person that we finally decided was the one, you know, after about three or four clues, we were already on that person's trail mostly. Now, here's the thing, though. This is a level three. If you get a level five, they actually work in red herrings. The level three doesn't have red herrings, really. So that's why it's a little bit easier. But I didn't think
the level ones, it's just whoever's the most famous actor.
Well, the thing is, you know, there are level ones and that you can buy. And I just thought to myself, I can't even imagine enjoying that very much. I did like this. I think if you want something that, you know, you don't want to sit there and spend the evening like really hurting your brain trying to figure something out, but you want something that it's going to take some time. The things are very well written and fun to read. I mean, it was actually fun just to get to know the characters and to read some of the material. And you just kind of want to work your way through this material and get to the end where you can take a really solid guess about who it is. I mean, it's perfect. I imagine a level five would be quite a bit more work, which I look forward to doing something like that.
And you have ordered another mystery.
Okay. So what we did was when we finished, we wanted to order another one right away. Now there's a superhero one that's also a one shot that looks so cool. And this one, I don't think the person is, well, they might be dead, but the setup, they're not dead. They're just missing. I don't know if you find out they're dead or whatever. And in that one also, there's a lot of the objects that come in it because, you know, there's certain objects and there's like stuff in the box. It's not just papers. It's like little fun tchotchkes, you know, and this one, the superhero one has some really cool ones, including an action figure of the superhero and all that stuff. So, that'd be really cool to do that. But then we noticed that there were some episodic ones on sale that were about the same. Like the episodic ones are pretty expensive. They're more expensive than these ones.
Yeah, they are. That's why I didn't get you.
And we saw some episodic ones that were on sale, but also they cost about the same as these as a one shot. So we thought, wow, we really have to take advantage of that, especially since one of the ones we saw, it was like set in a theater, which, you know, I love that. Mm. So,
and if it's on sale, get it now. And then later when the sale's over, the other one will still be the same cost.
That's right. So
that's a level one mystery right there. If you get a level one, that's what it is. It's like two things are there. One's on sale. Which do you buy first? That's
now this one is also a level three one. So it's going to be probably about the same difficulty, but it's going to be episodic. So we'll get to try that out and see if we like that.
Well, and I'll be curious what that looks like. Is that multiple murders or is that a serial killer? Or is that just like literally you don't know the murderer until the final episode?
To my knowledge, it's the last one you said, but I don't know. But you're right. I'm curious to know what that is.
I would find that a little frustrating. Like, oh, we got this episode. I mean, you're getting the whole thing, but like, we got this episode in the mail. All right. Well, we have no idea. Guess we got to wait a month for more information, but we still won't know for like 6 months.
That's another thing I wonder is does each episode have a stopping point? Like there's an envelope in there that you can open and see that you're on the right track, so to speak.
Literally just says dot, dot, dot at the end of every single document. And then...
So, yeah, I look forward to us trying that out. I have a feeling I'm going to favor the one shots. And also I have a feeling that, when we're done, if I want to do more episodic ones, I want to get the whole thing and not one at a time.
I can understand that, be
frustrating, because I think each episode, you know, I don't think you could do like six episodes in a day or whatever. You'd like just do them every night.
Well,
for a
just
week
in
or every
general,
weekend.
I think one of the appeals of this is at your own pace. And if you're only getting an episode a month, that's not your own pace.
But it's really fun. I mean, to me, it was just amazing fun. And I think a level three is, like I said, if you want just to have a good time and you don't want to sit there and have to rack your brains or something, I think a level three is good. So for us, the pace, as I told you, the pace of it was, it only took as long as it took for us to read the material and talk about it. Yeah. So it went fairly quickly, you know. The only thing that really stopped us and made that pace sort of get stopped was the cipher, because I didn't anticipate there was going to be a cipher. I don't think of myself as being particularly good at those. And I was a little worried that that we would get stopped there and then we wouldn't be able to go forward, because I'm typically not very good at those things. But then after looking at it a little bit, I figured it out. I was really surprised that I did, actually. And it did help. I mean, it was, if we couldn't have done the cipher, I think we still would have figured it out and got it correct. But it did really help. It wasn't quite a smoking gun, but it did really help you go, yeah, this is who did it, you know?
Good.
So I kind of look forward to doing other ciphers now that I actually managed to successfully get this one. It felt pretty good to do something that I didn't think I'd be able to do, but I thought it was great fun. And I really encourage everybody to kind of, you know, look at the site and see what you think. I mean,
for the record, we are neither sponsored nor affiliated. They don't know we exist, save for they have our credit card information. But well, it's good stuff.
No, I had a really good time.
Impressed by the variety. When I went to go buy it for you, I was like, wow, there's a lot of different ones. Because you talked about there's one shots and there's longer ones. But the one shots vary in tiers. And some of the one shots are much cheaper and much simpler. Mm. And there's some things that are even like a collection of some of the shorter one shots. And it's just a book. Mm. And it's real cheap. Like that one's like $20 or something.
I wonder
and
if
those
the,
look
if...
cool, but I wanted to get you the biggest thing I could sort of afford. And so that's where this one came.
That was really awesome. So do you think you'd ever be interested in doing one of these, or?
If someone invited me to do one with them, I might. Off the top of my, I don't think I would hate it. If I was presented in a situation to do it, I don't think I would dislike it. I don't think I would like it enough that I will ever seek it out, per se.
I mean, I think
but
it
I
is.
Don't
a...
know. You guys are surprisingly into it. If that sort of maintains, I might have to check it out myself. Let's see, I think it's a really neat idea.
Yeah, when you talked about it before, you were thinking of it in terms of, well, if you think you would like an escape room,
it felt like that to me. I don't know.
You might like
accurate.
This. I think that is probably accurate. I think it's going to appeal to a particular, I think it would appeal to a particular kind of person. I mean, it's not like if someone said, well, would this appeal to a role-playing game type person? I would say, well, no, I don't think specifically. I think that a role-playing game type person and someone who would really be into this, I think they're two separate people where the Venn diagrams overlap quite a bit.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure.
Essentially, this is a puzzle game.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind
and
of
when
is,
it
yeah.
comes to puzzles, there's a wide spectrum of real easy and real, real hard. And everybody, I feel like pretty much everyone likes some puzzles.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a point at which it is not fun anymore in terms of difficulty. I suppose for a lot of people, there's also probably a lower end in which it stops being fun because it's too easy.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I can get that. I don't particularly enjoy the 6-piece jigsaw puzzles they have for like 1-year-olds. I don't find them that fun. But my tolerance for complexity and for difficulty is, I think, much lower than yours. And yeah, I think maybe lower than their primary target audience
stuff. Yeah, I don't. So for me, I do like puzzles. I like puzzle games. I mean, I was a huge fan of Myst back in the, I mean, even I read all the Myst novels because I liked Myst so much.
And that's, I meant when we were talking about this the other day, I meant to tell you, like, my position in that kind of thing is I would hate to play Myst, but I really enjoyed finding wikis and reading the story and the lore about Myst.
Oh, yeah, I really love
it. And that's where I am. Like, the lore they created is really cool. Having to do those puzzles and not really having a story in the moment, just these puzzles that seem really hard in some cases, I do not believe I would like it all.
I don't think I have a limit as, like, I don't think there are puzzles that are so difficult for me I don't find them fun. I think there are some puzzles that I think are not very clever. Even if I didn't figure it out.
I mean, that's the thing. It can be a sort of brute force thing. It's like, here's a puzzle with no interesting bits, except this one part that involves a lot of higher math.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's not a clever puzzle, but it's still hard.
Like, right. Or, you know, I'll admit that I was thinking about this too hard and I couldn't think outside the box or whatever, but at the same time, it's silly, you know, it's not really. So, and if a puzzle's really hard and, you know, I can't figure it out and I have to watch someone else figure it out or find out how it's done, you know, I hope I learn something from that so that the next really difficult puzzle I can solve. It's, for me, it's not like chess, say, where after a while I figured out chess was a kind of thing where if I played it over and over again with people who were better than me, I would get better and better and eventually, you know, and that didn't interest me at all. What an
interesting example for you to bring up.
Well, yeah, because you used that example.
What made you think of that?
I wasn't interested in that. I wasn't interested in just, it's like Rubik's Cube. I never got interested in solving a Rubik's Cube because there's part of the thing I like about puzzles is figuring out how to do it, not just doing it. And if the how to do it is obvious, well, you just
move the pieces.
Or you figure out the patterns, or you just make sure you play someone who's dumber than you or whatever, or less experienced than you. That takes all the fun out of it. For, to me, the most fun about a puzzle is figuring out how to solve it.
Is the puzzle part of the puzzle game, not so much the game part of the puzzle.
Yeah. Now, actually solving it's fine, but figuring out how to solve it, that's the part I like most. And if I already know kind of how to do it, and it's just about busy work, or it's just about practicing a long time, or it's just, well, then I don't care. It's got to be, I've got to really figure out how to do it, then do it, and then that's fun. But I think another thing is, I think for these games, because like I said, some of them are supernatural, some of them, but in all of them, you're an investigator. And I think if you like that, if you think it'd be fun to actually be an investigator of any kind, a police investigator or a paranormal investigator or a journalist, investigative journalist, or whatever, I think it's fun to sort of put yourself in that mindset and to go through this kind of material.
And so that appeals to me.
Absolutely. It absolutely does. Yeah. So I think that's another part of it. If you like that.
You were weirdly emphatic about how much you were convinced it does appeal to me.
What's that?
I said that does appeal to me. And you were like, yeah, it absolutely does.
Oh, I thought you said it appeals to
you're
me.
You're right, Tony. You really are into that. I mean, I thought you were wrong.
I thought you were talking about me. Sorry. No. I thought you said that appeals to you.
That aspect appeals to me. That is the thing that makes me more likely like I might do it.
I didn't know that. Actually, I didn't know that that's something.
I mean, it's role playing.
Mm.
I like putting, and it's not specifically, not I am inspector, blah, 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 but just the idea like, oh, I am the master detective. Like the concept I like, the actual work of doing it.
Oh, That part was really fun, just sort of putting yourself in that role. And I think it would be fun to, like, if we had a marker board or something, you know, it would have been fun just to write this. I mean, you don't have to, but it's fun just to do it.
When's Abby's birthday? We'll get one of those then, and then we'll be on set.
Yeah, not till June.
Soon you'll start your own detective agency.
It might. I mean, it's possible that this thing will come. I mean, if I'm just going to look at the tracking right now, it's possible that we'll get it before my 3-week break is over, in which case I imagine we'll just do it. You know, I think we'll just go ahead and do it.
If you don't, it's going to suck.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'll have to wait 10 weeks. But here, the thing is, it's like 6 or 7 episodes. So we wouldn't be doing it in one night. You know, we'd have to be spreading it out over a week. So that's how that would work. But I think it'll be fun. And I think with a thing like that, with episodes, it would even be more fun to have a murder board or something, you know, so you can keep it up from week to week and remember what you did and all that. So I don't know. I'll tell everybody.
I prefer a murder board with a nail in it because they die fast.
But if we get a supernatural one and try it, I'll definitely tell you about that, because I'll bet you really like those. You didn't notice that, huh? They have some supernatural ones.
I didn't. I think I narrowed down the price I could manage and then looked at what was available. Mm-hmm. But also, it's been a bit now. They may have new ones that you didn't have when I was.
You know what? They have a YouTube channel too, where they have some. They have these like trailers for the games. The trailers are really good. It's not like I thought it was going to be like sometimes comic book, like DC will have trailers for comic books, and it's mostly just still images, and maybe they'll have someone do a voiceover or something. But this has actors in it. Like, they shot some stuff, and it's like really good.
Live action trailers for things that aren't TV or movies.
Yeah.
I've occasionally seen them for novels too, and I find it very cool.
Well, you should go there. I mean, it's just Hunt a Killer or whatever. And not all of the videos are these trailers, but when you find one, they're actually quite good, and they make you want to play the game too. So that was pretty cool. But then you had to pick up some beef from Cascade, Iowa, and
on Tuesday, you thought you were going to get by this. It's not happening.
What are we talking about?
On Tuesday, they shoved a camera up my penis.
Oh, yeah, that. I did. I was hoping.
Really bad.
Yes.
Not a fun time. I do not.
No, I can imagine it wasn't. I did not envy you that experience.
It's all been very vague, so I haven't really talked about it on the podcast. But if y'all remember when I had to go to the ER for 8 hours because UTI and all that shit. Well, in general, they've wanted to look into it some more, and they've been looking into more. And it all came out fine. Nothing. But the step we had reached was, we're going to put a camera in your bladder. And I was like, that sounds terrible, but it makes sense. We want to look around.
I didn't even know they could do that or would.
Yeah,
do that.
They just, well, they barely can. To look in there, because they're looking for cysts, they're looking for lesions, things that would cause blood. And so they tell me the whole thing, like start to finish, half hour. Nobody needs to drive you or anything. We just give you a local anesthetic, and then we stick a camera up there. They kept going back and forth about whether it was like a catheter. It is like a catheter, but it's bigger than a catheter. And they're like, then we'll do that, we'll look around, and you'll be out of here. Apparently, I have a narrow urethra, like Hank Hill on King of the Hill. I didn't know this. But they had some troubles. So, yes, they numbed it up. It still hurt. And we were on the verge of just giving up and coming back another day when they would just fucking knock me out and dilate me. And I was like, no, thank you. But then they decided they were going to do it. And they're like, okay, deep breath, deep breath. Holy crap. Hurt bad. It's not supposed to hurt. Hurt bad. Three people in there. Doing it, not in my bladder. Three people in the room. Doing the business. The main doctor just mostly just talks to me while the younger doctor does the business and the med tech does all the stuff the doctors don't want to do. I don't know. But the one really good thing. So at the end, it hurts and they're pulling it out and I'm scared that's going to hurt, but they've got it. So it comes out real quick. There's nothing. But I finally am catching my breath and I say to the doctor, so how do you choose a specialty like this? And without missing a beat. Very calmly, he just says, well, when I was a little kid, I was really fascinated by water parks. And I said to him, I said, that is a damn lie, but you need to keep telling it because that is a solid joke. But they didn't find nothing, but it messed me up. I was in there for about 45 minutes, and then I went to a Perkins and had some breakfast because I knew in like an hour I had therapy, and it was just like half a mile away, so I didn't want to drive home. And I got to therapy, and both my therapists are like, you look really tired. And I'm like, I slept a full night, but yeah, they just recently shoved the camera in my penis. It was exhausting.
I'm gonna speak a little bit to the squeamishness that most men are going to have listening to you talk about. This is a real thing.
And I find it hilarious. 15... I mean, I don't enjoy the idea of like getting kicked in the balls, but I love that. Like when guys hear about it, they're all like, oh,
yeah. It seems like a long time ago now. It had to be 15 years, maybe 20 years. I was reading this article about woman, she's a scientist, and she was doing research on mammalian, including human penises. And what I found surprising about the article, and yet also not surprising, was she said, there's remarkably little we know about the human penis. And some of the work she was doing was some of the first work that anyone had ever done. And she said she thought it wasn't a coincidence that she was the one doing this, a woman, because she thought that men felt squeamish about dissecting penises. She thought that's really what caused the problem is male scientists or doctors to learn some of these things, you had to dissect, you know, as a sample. And men were just so squeamish about doing it. Nobody had done it, but she was a woman, so she didn't feel squeamish about doing it. So that's why she was doing this work that nobody had ever, as far as she knew, had ever done before. Wow.
That is interesting. I mean, it's an interesting concept. You need a lot more to sort of back it up.
Oh, I know. And this was years ago when I read this, but I thought, wow, I wonder if that's a real, I mean, and she admitted she was just guessing, but her guess was based on the fact that every male colleague she had admitted to her that they would never do it.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, that tips you off. Then.
So she was like, wow, I did not know men had this squeamishness about
it. It always kind of amuses me because I mean I've had testicular accidents, all men have, and it really hurts. It's a bad thing. But I don't it's one of those things, like I'm also not freaked out by any discussion of menstruation, no matter how much graphic detail, because I've told myself not to be. And it's the same thing with penis stuff. Like, yeah, that sounds awful. I wouldn't like, but like, I've seen guys like, oh, stop talking. Oh, no. Just I'm like, if I can tolerate the conversation of people getting stabbed and whatever, I can handle it. It's not happening to me.
So ever since I read that article, I wondered, you know, obviously, I always wonder how much that's a cultural thing, right? Like, is this.
Yep.
Because here's another thing. I read that I was reading an article about, you know, military trauma. And that was part of the the article was talking about all kinds of trauma, and that was one of the things they addressed, was male soldiers who would have trauma in that general area of their body. And it was pointed out that when a traumatic thing happens, and a soldier's on the ground, a male soldier's on the ground, and probably realizing that, you know, that was an improvised explosive device or something, and that they probably have lost an arm or a leg or whatever. Often if someone's nearby who's ambulatory, you know, and they can ask them a question, one of the first questions they'll ask is if that part of their body is still there. Like, they're more concerned about that than anything else, dealing with an injury to the groin area than if they lose a leg or whatever. I mean, that's like almost always, that's what the person is interested, the male soldier is interested to know.
One of the most common things you hear amongst transphobic males, or at least one of the most common things I hear, and especially ones that get upset about transitioning children, is they consider being transgender to mean exactly one thing: a man cutting off his penis because he thinks he's a woman, or more accurately, having it cut off. And that's how they describe it. They'll be like, I understand there's all this stuff, but you shouldn't cut off your penis at a young age. Which, we'll set aside the fact that nothing substantial like that, nothing irreversible happens to children already. Trans kids don't get surgery before they're 18. Like, that's not a thing.
Don't they?
They do puberty blockers and hormone treatments, all of which are reversible.
I thought that really famous, what's her name? There's like a reality show about her. I thought she did before she was 18.
Maybe. I don't know of the case, and you can't remember the name, so I can't see if it jogs my memory. But in general, that's when people are advocating for trans kids, they're advocating mostly for puberty blockers and some for hormones, and of course, just basic presentation.
Social transitioning, and yeah.
All of that stuff is reversible.
Well, some of it is.
No, apparently all of it is. When you just stop taking them, it will readjust.
Not all of it. But I mean, you can be careful. There's a lot of care you can take in it, but there's some of it's not. Some of it's not. Some of it causes, but again, so my position on all this is I'm against all of this legislation more because I think doctors should be able to make these decisions with their patients without government intervention. I don't have really a position on like what should be done or not be done for a kid of a certain age or whatever. I think doctors and parents and kids need to work that out on their own. I think that's what the rights are. But I have heard people say some of the things you're saying, that, for example, it's completely reversible. But I mean, I've read the research on this in part for these classes, for human sexuality in these classes I'm taking. And no, there are some things that are not reversible. But it depends on what it is, and it depends on the kid. And so there's so many variables. People can't just make blanket statements about every case, which is another reason why they shouldn't be making laws and stuff about it. They need to let doctors and parents and all that stuff case by case basis. You can't make one size fits all, thoughts about these things is the wrong way to go. So the people who think we should make it illegal, well, that's wrong, because that's a one size fits all thing that's incorrect. But it's also true that you can't just make a blanket statement about, well, any kid can have this treatment for what they're presenting, and it's just fine. Well, that's not exactly true. It depends on the kid. It depends on a lot of different factors, which is why society just needs to shut up about it and let doctors and therapists and doctors and parents make the decision, the hard choices. It's very much like the abortion thing. It's like, this is hard. Making the decision to have an abortion is complicated and difficult, and nobody should concern themselves with it, except the woman and medical professionals. And I mean, that's my position on it anyway, but it's not, there are some people who have had some permanent things happen by taking puberty blockers and then they stopped, but those things didn't go back. Like, for example, individuals who were born female, their voices lowered and they stayed low, even though they decided not to transition and they got off of the hormones. So that's one that sometimes happens. There can be some concerns about fertility and things like that. But again, I don't want to oversimplify. I'm just trying to point out that it is a complicated thing. And that's, to me, that's the biggest reason why the law should stay out of it, because it's actually not simple or straightforward, or it's a case by case thing. And that needs to be treated that way and respected that way by the law, in my opinion, but also by society at large. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I think.
So my point was that a lot of guys are freaked out by the concept of transgender individuals because they just associate it as cutting off your dick. And guys are really obsessed with their dick, and they have that reductive, ridiculous idea. And that was my whole point. This has gone into a real unhappy and uncomfortable place that I'm really sorry that it did, but that was just my point. So we should move on.
Is it uncomfortable?
Please do not ask me why, because I genuinely don't want to talk about this anymore. Like, a lot don't want to talk about this anymore. Okay. So let's not go into the details of why, because that would involve talking about it. Anyway, they shoved the camera at my dick. And but then the next day, we did actually get together and had some beef.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we picked some up.
That was your joke. That was your joke. There was beef. That's where we went. I took William with me to Behringer Family Farm, which is a small farm in Cascade, Iowa, that is doing a thing where they dry age some of their beef for 21 days and they will sell it to you. And we really like it because it's very tasty, but also my wife especially, but me, really want we're feeling weirder and weirder about the sourcing of our meats. And we're also in a position where we are more able to spend a little more to do it more ethically. And so Trish is like, I've really been wanting steak lately, and I'd rather not buy it from our supermarket. So we go out there, and I'm probably just going to have it shipped. But I thought you would really enjoy the trip through rural Iowa.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
And it gave us a chance to hang out and talk, which we did for a long time. What cracked me up is we spent a long time in the car, and we talked to her at the farm for a long time. And then we spent a long time in the car again, and then we stopped for lunch. And we still spent for fucking ever at lunch like we would normally. You'd mm-hmm. think the extra 2.5 hours would factor in, but no. We just hung out. Like, I left the house at like 8:15, and I got home, it was almost 3.
Yep.
And that whole time was just hanging out with you. So that's my charitable donation to society for the year. No. But it's quite a fun time. We talked about a lot of interesting things. Mm-hmm. And we talked with her about her beef situation, and that's good. You got mobbed by cats.
Yeah, that happens to me for some reason.
Actually, I am curious what other people, because you asked me when we got back in the car why that happens.
Yeah, because it happens a lot.
And I have two potentially complementary theories that I have heard before. And one is cats don't often like direct, like, eye contact or that kind of thing. So often they will go to the person who's not paying attention to them. But that's very anecdotal. I can't exactly explain it, but that's the thing. But then the other version, of course, is that they mark you with their scent when they rub on you. And I presumably already kind of smell like my cats. So you're a free agent, essentially.
agent.
They were just all over you.
Mm.
Except for that one who kept trying to get in my car. It was a little black kitty. And he kept looking because we were sitting at the back of the Nissan Rogue and the lift was up because that's where we put the beef and the three of us are just talking. And it kept looking and I knew it and it jumped up and I probably would have let it play in there and I suppose I might have ended up with a cat. I don't know. But she, Lily, without even looking, every time, like she wouldn't even stop her sentence. It's just swat out of there. Yeah. And the cat was like, yeah, no, I get it. But then tried again.
Yeah, then tried again. Yeah.
But no, I would recommend anybody who still eats meat and who wants fancy meat, because it is a whole different thing. Check out Behringer Family Farm. They've got a website. They ship. I don't know how far they ship. I don't know if people, I mean, Craig's probably out of luck, but I don't know if they'll ship like cross country, but those of you who live in the region, they'll definitely ship out of state. I know at least that much.
What, so what is it? What's the, you said they dry age.
Dry age.
What does that mean exactly? And what does that do for it to make
for the most part? What that means is it breaks down the tissues. So it becomes very tender. It becomes sort of a consistency that you expect with like low and slow barbecue kind of thing. Like just the raw meat is very, very tender and the steaks are unbelievable. Fancier people will tell you there's also sort of a flavor to the aging, a funk, I think it is usually called, but that always sounds very unappetizing.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good at all.
And I was a little bit worried about that when we first, I don't really notice a difference. It's mostly textural. It's just so melt in your mouth, tender. And like my wife prefers leaner cuts. And so we got like a, I don't remember what, but it was like a tenderloin or a filet or something. And I didn't wrap it or anything. I grilled it and I grilled it pretty serious. She likes hers a good medium and it fell apart. Like it was the rare ribeye I was eating. Like it's just so moist, so tender. It's really nice. And cool. Again, we like being able to support a local business. You and I found out she used to work as a beef nutritionist. Mm-hmm. So odds are even better that these cows are pretty darn healthy. So that's nice.
I wonder if that's how she knew how to even do that process or whatever.
Probably. Huh. I mean, you can look it up and things, but she probably encountered that that way.
Yeah.
There is such a thing as wet aging, too. That is more cost intensive, mostly because you end up... Well, then it happens with all the aging. Like, stuff grows on it. So you basically have to cut away the parts of the meat that are nasty. And what you've got left. So but you charge a lot more for it. So you know it's a give and a take.
Interesting.
It wasn't something I had a lot of experience. I knew of it and I saw people in videos eat it and it looked really good, but I didn't know anything. And Trish originally just came up with it because she found out it was near the place she wanted to go get hay, and she's like, it'll be a fun thing for Tony, but we're into it. Yeah.
Cool. And you got bones too.
Yes. Because my wife is going to make, my wife wanted me to get beef bones, and then she's going to get certain spices and make Nigerian broth in the hope that we can make Nigerian jollof rice. Because I have expressed an interest in trying jollof rice, because I hear about jollof rice a lot. I hear about it in various TV shows. I hear about it in interviews, things like this. It is a staple of West African cuisine. What surprised me is my wife's trying to make Nigerian, whereas she has a good friend and former employee who's from Ghana, who all Nigeria and Ghana come from a very similar culture. So there's a lot of rivalry over the Nigerian version of this is better than the Ghanaian version. No, the Ghanaian version is better than, and of course, we're white people. We don't know. But I was like, if she finds out you're doing Nigerian jollof rice, she might get mad. But
Lily told us that she has a person that she uses to like make the broth so that you can buy the broth from them. You don't have
to. Which we might do in the future. But Homemade bone broth. I'm a believer now. I've got a chicken carcass in my fridge to make it because Trisha's done it a few times and it's a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
All the gelatin renders out. Oh, so good.
Yeah, I've heard that. It's really good.
Yeah, so we got all of that. I also this weekend went to Chillicothe to see my niece in Little Mermaid for the third time. I don't ever know what to say. I mean, the production was really good. The costuming was really impressive. The singing was really good. All the acting was really good. It always is funny to me when you go see a high school production and like nobody sucks. And I mean, I don't, not that high schoolers are bad, but like they're high schoolers, they're students. Right. There's always somebody who sucks. There's always somebody who you're like, it's a small role. It's the best we could find. Or they're the ones who fit in the look. You know, I mean, I did a lot of theater and there's always some of those. And it's not that they suck, but they're not like, they're clearly afterwards. If you ask the audience, like, who was the weak point? Like they all know. No, this, and it's actually kind of creepy. I'm so glad my niece is graduating because there are way too many strangers in high school whose faces I recognize now. And I feel like a creeper. Because this one, because that was like, I wanted to go up to one of them afterwards and be like, you did a great job. And I realized I've known who she was since she was like six. She has no idea who I am. And I don't even live in this town. I'm a stranger who showed up to a surprising number of her high school plays and concert performances. It just feels weird. But yeah, they all did real good. And yeah, the costuming was phenomenal for it. And my niece is amazing. She always is. I mean, I'm sure I have some sort of bias, but I actually am bored with how good she is. Like, there's nothing to say. It's like, yes, she did an immaculate job, which I expected, and she met expectations. She doesn't exceed expectations because I know how fucking good she is. It's ridiculous.
Do you think she's gonna like do this something like this in
she's
college?
Trying,
maybe
she's trying college, make a living. She's applied to colleges with performing arts programs, a couple of schools that are specifically of performing arts. Yeah, I think she's more interested in acting than musical theater, but it's hard to say. But she's quite good at both. So, but yeah, that's pretty much all. I've seen a couple movies. Did I talk about Triangle of Sadness with Woody Harrelson?
No.
All right, it's a movie. I think it's on Hulu right now. It got a Best Picture nomination.
It did?
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
It's another one of those dark sort of black comedies that is sort of making fun of the rich while ignoring the irony that it's made by the rich because all those people are very wealthy. I mean, there have been a lot of these kind of movies lately. It's good. What cracks me up is Woody Harrelson is their big get. Like, he got the and credit for this, and he was in the 2.5-hour movie for maybe 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like a big thing because it's not an American-made film. Mm. But he was their big get, and he did a great job. Woody Harrelson's a good actor as long as you cast him right. He's good. But it was fine. It was a little thought provoking, but mostly it was, yeah, I've seen this kind of story with this kind of message before.
It's always funny to hear about Woody Harrelson doing something and even him just being a thing because, you know, he started on Cheers as this sort of boneheaded replacement for Coach, who the actor died, I believe.
Yep.
And, you know, he was good in that role, but it was really hard to picture him doing anything else, but he did.
Well, he's done a bunch of stuff that I haven't seen. He does a lot of things that I'm not interested in True Detective and stuff like that. But the thing that made me realize he could actually act, because I grew up with Woody on Cheers and that was him and that's fine and whatever. I mean, maybe he's a good actor or maybe that's just what he's like. I don't know. His whole bit was a sitcom's character whose shtick is that he's dumb. So,
yep.
But then, and I saw it in the theater. I must have been at some like summer. I did some summer programs at like college campuses, and one of the things they would do is drive us to the local multiplex, and like we could see any of the like $1 movies or whatever. And so that must be the reason, because I went to the theater and saw a movie called The Cowboy Way. And it was a comedy starring Woody Harrelson and Kiefer Sutherland as rodeo cowboys who I don't even remember anymore. They ended up in the city for some reason, and it was funny because they're not adjusted. Whatever. It was a dumbass movie. But both of them were playing roles I was not used to for them.
Hmm.
And that was pretty fun to see, because Kiefer Sutherland also in my head was like, you know, the moody dude from Lost Boys and Flatliners and shit. But no, he was just a cowboy and it was fun. So that was when I started noticing. And yeah, Woody can act when you put him in the right part.
Yeah.
And then last night we saw Escape from New York. Something popped that into my head, and that's a classic movie that I had never seen.
I've never seen it either.
It's free on, well, not free. It is Prime. It is free on Prime. Mm. So you can check it out. John Carpenter, 1981. Kurt Russell as Snake Plissken. And lots of other people. Lee Van Cleef was in there. Harry Dean Stanton was in there. Adrienne Barbeau was in there, though. Apparently, Adrienne Barbeau was married to John Carpenter, so that's why she keeps showing up in these movies. Don't get me wrong. Adrienne Barbeau can also act, but she also can be cast in things because she has a nice pair of boobs. And this felt like that. She didn't exactly have a lot of part to work with for all that she was on the screen a lot. But it's really fun to see like a young Harry Dean Stanton. And Donald Pleasance in maybe my favorite ever role, because he's a president that was kidnapped and basically loses his mind. And it's pretty fun to watch. For a broad sci-fi action movie out of 1981, it's not bad. The plot don't make a lot of sense. But... But I've always heard that everybody loves this one. They made a sequel called Escape from LA that apparently sucked. But I realized, like, everybody talking, like, Snake Plissken is an iconic character that people talk about. And so mm-hmm. I was like, we should watch this. And so we did. I don't know why he's an iconic character. His character actually doesn't make sense. They do that thing where he's brought before the head honcho, and the head honcho reads his record by way of exposition.
Mm-hmm.
And his background makes no sense. He's a decorated war hero who then spontaneously tried to rob a Federal Reserve and then got sentenced to life in prison, maximum security, because of that. Now, I'm sure you have questions, because that's not all the information. I cannot answer most of them. I can tell you two more bits of information that will only bring more questions.
Okay.
One is he encounters somebody and it turns out they worked in the prison. The whole thing is Manhattan Island is now a maximum security prison, and everybody just lives in there and kills each other and nobody gives a shit. And it's just guarded on the outside. He has to go in and save the president whose plane crashed in there, and they'll give him a pardon. And if not, he's screwed. You know, it's essentially the plot to Bad Dudes, the video game. I don't know why. But anyway, in there, he runs into somebody who he knew from a different job they pulled, and the person betrayed him. I don't know what this job, but the implication is that it's a criminal enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
At no point do we have any discussion of how this decorated veteran became a criminal or why ever, but everyone in prison recognizes him on sight and heard he was dead. Everyone not after he introduces himself, they walk up and they're like, "You're Snake Plissken. I heard you were dead." I finally paused the movie and I turned to Trish and I said, I want you to tell me of any war hero that didn't make it to general and that didn't already have a movie about them that you can name much more that you can recognize on sight. And do you know what my wife said? Chelsea Manning. Which I'm like, that does not meet the criteria in a variety of ways. Not least of which is I don't think she could recognize Chelsea Manning on sight. So what is this world set in 1997, by the way, which is the far future at the time? Does all these criminals just recognize this? God, it's so weird. But it's a goof movie and whatever. We are already well over an hour, so we should probably wrap up. I'm sorry we didn't get to any emails, but please send us emails, themagicaltalkingat@gmail.com. Also go to the blog. Tell us why you think cats are so attracted to William. Some of you have got to have better understanding of this phenomenon. Well, it's not specific to you. It's a thing that frequently seems to be tied to people who either don't like cats or just don't have cats. And I don't know the specifics of that. Somebody else might. Also, your take on any of these movies. Also, have you checked out Hunt a Killer? What do you think of that? Also, how sorry are you for my penis? Because it's had a rough time. It could use some sympathy. If you want to send flowers, I'll put something in the show notes. But other side of that. Oh, and do you want some beef? Because I have some there. Not. There's actually a show on Netflix that's about to start called Beef that's about two people who actually have a beef. I don't like it.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.